All right, sit down.
Live from the 1480 AM studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Craig Isaac, and Eric Reinert.
No, it's Joseph Castelluccio today.
Oh, yeah, I should have said that.
It's hot
and
here.
This is a huge show today.
Yeah.
The Jersey Boys show.
It's one of the biggest that we got here
here
in Phoenix.
Now?
I'm always Italian.
No, it sounds Irish now.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I put Irish cream in my coffee.
Oh, yeah? How about some Italian cream?
Oh.
No, maybe not. No.
Greg, can I have your coffee?
No.
I'll
stick
today,
to mine.
Okay?
You can enjoy Joseph's Italian cream.
No. I've heard of Italian ices.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably cold as an icy.
I'm hot.
Oh, yeah, you're hot.
I don't know.
What? Anyway, what a lineup. We have actor Jason Kappas, who plays Bob Gaudio in the great musical Jersey Boys, Las Vegas, Paris Hilton. He's coming up at about 9:25.
Paris Hilton,
Paris Hilton's on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Paris Hotel.
Hi, guys.
Hey, that was
That's
funny.
That's hot.
Yeah, why'd they say? I was thinking of Paris Hilton, probably. But the Paris Hotel, and I reviewed that show. What a great show that is, and we're going to talk to actor Jason Kappas
well,
at 9:25.
Before we tell the breakdown of what's going on,
because
it's our Jersey Boys show. Yeah, and because the movie came out, we're going to review that. So like you say, we got him on. And not only that, but we like our practical perspectives. We've got someone on the show today that knew... That had dinner, his parents, his family always had dinner with the Four Lovers, a.k.a. Frankie Valli.
Oh, I thought you meant the Four Lovers. That
oh, no,
was
that's,
some party.
The three lovers are in here.
They named themselves after a bowling alley.
Oh, there's a fourth lover.
Eric. Yeah, they did, actually, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, but look what happened.
Yeah, but Michael Swerdloff, he always had dinner with them. That's a family friend.
So this is going to be great to talk about that with him.
Yeah,
any great
some,
stories
yeah,
he has.
Folk tales about
that. And then we have writer-director Michael Tolley, Ping Pong Summer, two of my favorite actresses, Leah Thompson in that, and Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a nice interview, and I did see that movie.
Very good. I did as well. So we'll have a review of that as well.
And I tried to, but I ran out of time.
Oh, you ran out of time? You wanted to play ping pong real quick.
Yes.
I was playing the neighborhood.
Wow.
Oh, beer pong. Yeah.
We'll play some ping pong in here. I've got some surprises. No, ping pong. What?
You can play it on this table?
Can we play beer pong in here?
I don't think that would be appreciated. No.
No, okay.
We could pretend, though.
We could do
pretend. Oh, we could pretend.
Then I could probably win.
I'm not winning very well.
Okay. And who's next?
And who's next? We've also got writer-director Jim Wilson in studio.
That's exciting.
Yeah. He wrote and directed, co-wrote and directed and produced this movie called 50 to 1.
Yeah.
He's here in the Valley, so he's gonna spend two segments with us during today's show.
And just so listeners know, he produced Dances with Wolves and The Bodyguard. I mean, two great movies. And among others, too, though. But those were probably his two biggest hits.
Yeah.
That's big. Dances with Wolves, the highest grossing Western ever made. Ever made. He knows Kevin Costner quite well.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder if he ever met Clint Eastwood.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
But we'll ask him. And then actor and singer Drew Anthony, who plays Dean Martin in the Rat Pack, is back at the Rio in Las Vegas, joins us at 11:20 to 11:25. Vintage Vegas theme. It's going to be exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very exciting. Then, of course, we'll also be talking about other movies. You know, like we said, we'll talk about Jersey Boys a lot today and also Ping Pong Summer. Also, the Grand Seduction came out yesterday, so we'll find out what I thought of that.
Yeah, that was a tape of me the last few weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Wow. Yeah. I went from average to grand very quickly.
Nice.
You know, like a grand piano.
Or like a grandmaster.
Yeah, that's even better.
And then I also finally...
Or like a granddad.
Or a master practitioner.
Yeah, that's even better. See, you listen to the...
I listen to the words coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I also finally caught up with a couple of the movies currently playing in theaters that came out. Fault in Our Stars came out a few weeks ago. And then 22 Jump Street came out last week. I know we heard your thoughts on that. We'll see if I actually agreed or disagreed.
I'm going to guess no.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. That's at the end
of
the show.
Oh, I guess yes, then.
That's at the end of the show.
You should be a poker player.
Yeah, you're good.
But I think we had influence on him because I don't know if he was going to see it yet. And I think
you overshot
maybe it. We helped him.
No,
you
didn't.
Overshot it, so when he went, it was a disappointment.
I wanted to see it. I'll just say that. I did want to see it, but unfortunately, like I said, the studio makes it difficult for some movies, for press to see certain movies, and yes, that was one of them. And, you know, so I did want to see it. I did finally see it. We'll find out what I thought of that. And I do want to preview. Yes. Next week, of course, is our Independence Day special.
Yes.
Right? We'll be talking
with
him.
Yeah, just us.
Yeah, just us. And, yeah, well, of course, a fireworks expert, one of those guys that puts off the big displays. And we've got someone involved with the eating competitions.
You know,
those are big on the 4th of July, right?
The hot dog guy.
Don't look at me.
The hot dog guy.
Yeah, hot dog guy.
Oh, he's pointing at Dave.
Wait, I don't do hot dogs.
It looks like you do.
Oh, but I do Italian cream.
Do-do. Uh-huh. And Eric, can we have our own little eating contest in here?
As long as I don't have to eat anything.
Oh.
You mean the fastest to eat a hot dog?
Okay. A hot dog?
As long as it's salad.
Oh, as long as it's salad?
Yeah.
I'm down for that. There we go.
Or some grilled chicken or something.
Yeah, hang on.
Or a pizza.
Yeah.
No, I like what Eric's
coconut cream pie.
Oh, I'll burn the roof of my mouth, though.
How about, why?
Pizza. You burn the roof
cold
of your mouth?
It's cold pizza.
Cold pizza.
I know how to create less liabilities. Well,
and then how about the following week is our extraterrestrial show. Very exciting. And
cool. Are you going to have an alien in studio?
No, we have someone that got abducted.
Yes.
We do?
Really?
I was kidding.
I don't really want to spoil too much about it, but and especially we had two.
Was it my ex-mother-in-law? Oh, my God. That would be horrible.
Hey, that's...
Or my ex-wife.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I bet that's who it is. And she didn't even get abducted. She does the training.
Wow. She did it all on her own.
Yeah.
Well, I actually spoke with two really big actors yesterday. I met with them. I don't want to tell our listeners who they are right now, but I do want to tease the fact that one of these actors, one of these really, really big actors, kind of said that I need a psychiatrist.
I agree.
Raise your hands. The eyes have it.
So, well, you know, we could talk about
Greg's
it.
I think Greg's on the eyes, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out why this big, who this big actor is that thinks I need a psychiatrist.
We already know.
Well, you know. Well, no, you don't know the one of them.
Yeah,
What? You already know that I do need one.
I know the reason why.
No, well, the reason why he thinks. Because it was a very unusual, I will just say that it was my most favorite interview, my second most favorite interview after.
What the heck's on your finger?
I'll tell you in 1 second. I know you're looking at that. My second most favorite interview after my Cuba Gooding Jr.
Interview
where he wore boxer shorts.
Thing.
All right.
Okay.
It actually has to do with my finger. It was a chicken coop accident.
Oh, sorry.
And I
how was the chicken?
And this actor noticed this this on my finger and asked me what happened. And I said, chicken coop accident. And that just spiraled out of control. Big snowball. And yeah.
Oh, my. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It was good. Like I said, it was my second most favorite interview after Cuba Gooding Jr.
Well,
in his boxer shorts.
After the physical, was the chicken okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Chicken coop. Not chicken.
I thought the name of the chicken was Coop.
No.
Okay.
What do? All right.
Okay. Here we go.
All right. Well, it's very exciting. Like you said, it's our Jersey Boys show. We're going to have all the music today is by Frankie Valli. Is that with a Y?
I.
Because?
Because it's
Italian.
It's a vowel.
Yes, it ends in a vowel.
Yeah.
And when you're Italian, you got to end with a vowel, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Eric?
I don't know. That's pretty stereotyping, I would
say. Oh, that was Joseph that said that.
Oh, hey, I'm Italian. I can say this thing.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Is it
Erdo? You know, it's ending with an O.
Are you pure?
Remember,
are you like a pure Italian?
We'll let Greg do it one more time for our longtime listeners. What was my original family's last name?
Erdo. No.
Iardo.
Yes, Iardo.
Hairdo.
So you're a pure Italian?
Yeah, no.
Wait, when did the last name change?
Huh?
Like the pronunciation, like what happened? Like
they wanted to make it more American, I think. They wanted it easier.
Americans were too stupid to pronounce Italian.
Of course, you know.
Like David.
And I'm not from Jersey, but, and apparently now I'm Russian. Okay.
If you were a girl, it'd be Josefina.
That's what my parents were hoping for. All right, no.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Maybe I was.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
I do have the records from Sweden.
Jamie Lee Curtis. All right.
No,
she'll never be on the show now.
No, she didn't do that, did she?
Ouch, I thought that was just a rumor.
I don't know. My human sexuality professor kind of confirmed.
You know, what? No, that's funny because my cousin said in her school she was taught the same thing, and it's like nobody's proven it.
That's what happened with me in high school. They were talking about that, and I said, "Well, she's the hottest guy I've ever seen. Well, at least back in the 90s.
True Lies. Places.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, the 80s for you, and then Dave. You know, well, we'll have an older
70s
actress.
For Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll find you. Some.
We'll have Charlton Heston.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, that's good to know. Well, actually, with that green shirt.
He is dead. Yeah. Oh. Sorry.
Well,
they pried the gun out of his cold, dead hand.
Then he came back and got it back.
Well, Charlton Heston, let's segue.
You shall not pass.
Well, and speaking of shall not pass, get off my lawn. Let's talk a little bit about Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
I don't know what that was.
No, the chair. That was a chair.
Well, okay. Well, Clint Eastwood directs the story of four young men from the wrong side of the tracks in New Jersey who came together to form the iconic 1960s rock group The Four Seasons. Jersey Boys is a cinematic adaptation directed by Clint Eastwood. It's a cinematic adaptation of the Broadway musical stage play. Of course, it's touring across the nation. Like you said, it's also out there at Paris Hilton.
Yeah, Paris Hotel, Las Vegas. Great, too. And I'll talk about that as well.
And, let's see. You know, I let me tell you a little bit what I thought about it first.
Yeah. Okay.
I was looking forward to it. I love musicals. One of my favorite TV shows is Glee. I loved it when it first came out. I still love it now.
Of course it is.
I'm a Gleek. Yeah. And
we couldn't make a bet on that because we both agreed that was probably your favorite show.
Are you a loser like me?
No.
Are Gleeks no?
I'm not a Gleek, I can tell you that.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, so I really love musicals. I love the energy of musicals. I love walking out. I remember Chicago. When Chicago ended, the cinematic adaptation of that, I was like dancing out of the theater. All the older people were, you know, dancing, sashaying or whatever you call
it. Are you one of the older people?
No, but I enjoyed dancing with them. I was twirling them around and everything, little old lady.
Did you twerk them?
I did not know how to twerk back then when Chicago came out.
Mm.
But, this Jersey Boys, I would say, lacks a certain energy, theatrical energy, that I've never seen the play. I know that you have, the musical, mm-hmm. but so I'm interested in hearing what you have to say. But I thought that it lacked the energy that could have been, you know, it could have made this a musical masterpiece. I will say, though, that the story is very interesting, very fascinating. I think that that younger viewers will be drawn to that. Older viewers will, of course, love the look of the movie. It's very authentic, very genuine looking. Yeah. Just kind of like transports you back there.
Dave can verify to make sure.
Yes, he can tell us that it's accurate.
I don't understand how Clint goes from like Gran Torino to that.
And I think that's what a lot of the other critics are saying. That you know, yes, he doesn't really have the musical know-how in terms of directing a musical, you know, the staging and just how to make it lively. And I think that's what was missing, except for the final musical number, Oh What a Night. Of course, the song that brought us into the show, December 1963, by the Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
It's 12 months old.
You were?
In December of 63, I was 12 months old.
Wow. Then they weren't talking about the act that made you possible.
No, why do we need to discuss that?
We have film at 11.
Yes, but but the end of the movie, that last musical number, so much energy. I wish the entire movie was like that. So do you think I'm giving it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I think you're giving it a thumbs up.
I'm giving it a thumbs up. I love the movie, even though it didn't have that energy. It's not a breakthrough, but it is very close to being so. Just falls very shy of that. And, it transported me back to a much simpler time. And, you know, who doesn't love that music? I love the music. I cannot wait to own the soundtrack. It comes out on Tuesday.
Which is amazing because you're not that generation.
Exactly, and I think the music transcends all that.
And I was just barely that generation. I mean, I was a young teenager.
Really?
So, yeah.
Gosh,
young.
Come on now.
No, it's true.
Hey,
Eric was 12 months, and I was about, in 60, I was only 10 years
63.
Old. 63. Yeah, 63, okay. Then 13.
He's trying to act like he doesn't remember the years.
But a younger, I knew that. But the thing is I agree with you, but I think they tried to really replicate. I believe, and I think that's the word, or duplicate, the musical. And it worked at the end beautifully.
Yes.
And there's no doubt. But I looked beyond that, and I think this was more than a movie. I mean, the way described it was it's a journey through time to bring us to the behind-the-scenes stories of one of the greatest musical groups ever. And they really were until the Beatles came along, and they were still phenomenal. But it's sort of rags to riches and back to rags. I mean, it's an interesting story of loyalty and dedication, and a very unusual story with all these guys going, except for Frankie, I don't think, but the others going in and out of jail quite a bit. And not Bob.
Yeah. Well, not Bob Gaudio.
No, he wasn't really from the neighborhood.
He was, of course, a virgin. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke, all that stuff
at first. Oh, What a Night was about his night, by the way. And it had it all. It had touching moments. It had tragedy. Yeah. And very touching.
Oh, you saw
horrible.
It.
Yeah, he saw
I did.
It.
Oh, okay.
Humor, great acting, an interesting story, and, of course, phenomenal songs. And that's why I'm impressed by you, Joseph, that you know these songs.
Oh, hey, I always listen. I'm not going to say the name of the station, but I always listen to that oldie station. Actually, I can say the station that I really listen to because they no longer
94.5.
exist. Yeah, yeah. I actually listened to Sunny 97 back in the day.
Oh, you can't say that.
I have no idea.
It doesn't exist anymore.
I do want to give shout-outs. I thought John Lloyd Young, who played Frankie Valli, excellent performance.
Yes.
Frankie is 80 years old right now, the real Frankie. Vincent Piazza, who played Tommy DeVito. He's age 86. He's still around.
He just had a birthday 2 days ago.
Yeah. So
on June 19th.
You know your stuff.
Of course.
Christopher Walken, Jip DiCarlo. I thought it was a really good role for him.
Yes, I know it was.
Michael Lomenda as Nick Massey sadly died December 24th, 2000. And Bob Gaudio, age 71. Eric Bergen, still around. I think he lives in Tennessee. So phenomenal cast. I thought they all did a very, very nice job.
The only one who did not do a very nice job was the lady that was singing the one female song. In the
movie. That was odd.
My Boyfriend's Back.
I remember that song.
That was, I love that song, and we actually have it on a future show. Because, of course, I'm planning all of our themes. But that version of that song was completely dead. Her voice was horrible. And,
it was
wonderful.
I will say, I love the movie, but I got to say, at Paris Hotel, Las Vegas, the Jersey Boys musical, that's better.
That's better? Okay.
I thought it was better. I'll tell you why. The interaction with the audience, it was an older crowd because these people just got up. You know, they could hardly, some of them hardly could get to their seats, but when the music started, they're dancing in the aisle.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of young people, too, that got to their seats fine. But the point is what I'm trying to point out is that music wakes the body up. It will bring you back to a memory that was phenomenal. And some of those hits, I mean,
and
Sherry Baby and
Walk
we've
got
like
them all
a Man
on today's show too.
I mean, they're phenomenal music, and his pitch.
Well, their movements. Yeah, his pitch was amazing. The falsetto and the movements. You know, we don't see those movements anymore. Yeah. The arms, and then when he does his arm up in the air. I mean, that's just all just very exciting and
he
visually.
Was good.
Yeah, the actors were tremendous.
And he wasn't. I think he was not the first pick. For the Broadway show, John Lloyd Young, but he was on the Broadway show.
Yes, they all were. Four of the main.
And but I'll tell you the one at Paris.
Walken.
Yeah, but the one at Paris. I mean, that cast is phenomenal too. I mean, just phenomenal. You got to see it, the musical too.
Well, hopefully our guest in a few moments will invite us down, because I know that you saw it, but I would love to see it live.
Really,
and that's
good.
The best opportunity to see it.
So we both give this a big thumbs up. You're right. Not quite a breakthrough, but certainly worth the time. And the fascination of the story will blow people away if they don't know the story.
And it is about 2 hours and 15 minutes long, so you get plenty of a movie for your money.
Well, hey, I'm reading NPR review of the movie, and
they're wrong.
The Angels, I guess, is the one who's saying Boyfriend's Back or something.
Yes.
And they agree with you. They said there's little sense of context, either social or musically.
Oh, very true. Very true.
And that's a good point.
Yeah, but the rest of the movie, like I said, it could use a little bit more energy throughout. But
how about the song "My Eyes Adore You"?
We've got that one on today as well.
But I don't know for sure. But the way they set it up in the movie, I think he was talking about his daughter, right?
Yes, but if you listen to the lyrics, I wouldn't say some of those things about my daughter. I don't know.
It seemed like that.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to.
We'll check.
We'll look into it. But in the meantime,
great song though.
Well, we have a great guest coming up after the break. Who's going to be joining us?
It's going to be actor Jason Kappas, who plays Bob Gaudio, the great songwriter of the Four Seasons. Without him, Well, that would have been tough. All those great songs may not have been Frankie Valli's.
And I think he knows, Bob Gaudio knows.
He does know.
It would not have been possible without him. And, of course, this is Sunday Kind of Love by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. And this is American Top 40, and I am the late Casey Kasem.
Yeah, we should say our thoughts and prayers. That
a
just
shout
happened.
Out.
Yeah,
shout
for
out
Casey
to the,
Kasem.
To Casey.
Yes.
He was phenomenal.
Casey Kasem.
Because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Casey.
Why?
I'm kidding.
Oh.
Well,
no, he told
I don't
me
think
that.
A lot of, think a lot of people probably wouldn't be here.
At least his kids.
Yeah. He was tremendous, though. There's
yes.
no doubt. Does
yes.
Greg know Casey Kasem?
No, I've never heard that name before.
You,
how about Wolfman
you're
Jack?
You're being sarcastic.
Come on, he watched Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, so we're going to take a quick break right now. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX, and we'll be right back.
Are you a restaurant owner who panics if your AC goes down in the dog days of summer? Extreme Cooling finds that equipment usually breaks down unnecessarily, costing restaurant owners time and money. For this reason, Extreme Cooling promotes and specializes in proactive service plans designed specifically to keep all of your refrigeration equipment operating properly, as designed, all year long. Extreme Cooling is here to help you with all of your refrigeration needs, knowing that saving money is your top concern. Our number is 623-810-8513. When you want to start saving money, call Extreme Cooling. Do you suffer from not having enough fun? We could take care of that. Pino's Palette is the upscale paint and bring your own beverage studio located off of Tatum and Shea. We're a group painting class where you can bring your own alcohol or non-alcoholic beverage, and our trained artists will lead you through step by step in recreating the featured painting of the night. No art experience necessary. Drink in one hand and paintbrush in another. We are a great night out for any occasion. Pino's Palette. Paint, drink, and have fun.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
More than 60,000 people are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease each year, thousands of them here in the Valley. Thankfully, one of the nation's top treatment facilities is located in the heart of Phoenix, the Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center. Parkinson Network of Arizona raises funds to help patients and families receive the crucial educational and activity-based classes offered through the center. 1480 and Parkinson Network of Arizona invite you to become involved and make a difference in the lives of those with Parkinson's. Go online to ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org to find out about upcoming events, including the largest Parkinson's walk in the state, Walk the Fight, and learn how your donation stays local to provide life-changing opportunities. Once again, that's ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
I turned Joseph's mic on, but I'm afraid he's going to start doing falsetto.
And welcome back again to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here at 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Greg Isaac, and Eric Reinert.
I got to tell you, it's Castelluccio.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not.
Erdo.
It's Erdo with an I.
Oh, maybe. an iPhone, yes. And this is our Jersey Boys show today, our theme show. This is going to be phenomenal. We've already reviewed the movie.
And, of course, this is Sherry Baby by, I don't know, what group is this again?
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
The Four Lovers or the,
well, it used to be the Four Lovers.
The Variatones, is it, maybe?
No, I think it was.
That was them as well.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of names, but, you know, one name that I really want to talk about right now
is Bob Gaudio.
Gaudio.
And joining us, actually, right now is actor and musician, I should say, great singer, Jason Kappas. Jason, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Now, did I pronounce your last name correctly, Kappas?
Yeah, you got it.
Excellent.
And
thank
are we
you.
Pronouncing, is it Gaudio?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a longer O if you really want to go Italian. It's like Gaudio.
Gaudio. Oh, Gaudio. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm getting good at this. I was never from the neighborhood, though. Anyway, you know, Jason, I reviewed the musical, The Jersey Boys, in Las Vegas at the Paris Hotel, and I want to first say you are magnificent as Bob Gaudio. Phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah, you were just excellent. And you know, let's just talk about this a little bit. This is our Jersey Boys show today. And this is more than just a musical. I mean, it's a story behind the story that makes it so fascinating. You had to be more than just a singer, musician, but an actor communicating a significant message. What were some of the challenges you faced by this added element? Actually, it's probably the main element of the whole musical and the movie.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not your typical jukebox musical where, you know, it's just mainly a bunch of songs with a, you know, a story shoehorned in. It really is a play that, you know, happens to have these songs in it because these guys, you know, were musicians. And so, yeah, you're right. I think the biggest, you know, focus for us is this story. And it is a challenge to play, you know, these iconic characters, you know, who people know and love and who are also still alive and come see the show at times. So we have a big responsibility to fill these shoes. And so we spent a lot of time, you know, doing research and, you know, trying to get the sound right, trying to, you know, get the accents right and the feel of the whole experience authentic. And luckily for me, you know, Bob Gaudio is still around. He's very involved with the musical. He came out when I first joined Jersey Boys. I launched the second national tour. He came out for our previews and our tech process, and he was there to, you know, make sure we were getting the sound right. So I got to spend some time with the guy that I'm actually playing, which was very helpful.
Yeah, I can imagine. I was going to ask that question. How did you really, you know, create that perfect image of him? How, you know, how he moved, how he sang, his mannerisms. But I guess you just explained it. You had enough time with him to be able to pull that off.
Yeah, and, you know, none of us are trying to do, you know, imitations of them or anything, but the creative team of the show has been casting Jersey Boys for so long now, you know, close to 9 years, that they really know what they're looking for. So ideally, they're finding people who don't really have to stretch too far out of their, you know, comfort zone to be right for these characters. So that's going for us as well.
Now, a little bit about your background. I believe you were in Hairspray, West Side Story, and other musicals. Can you tell us a little bit more about when you first had a passion to act, to sing, and to get into this industry?
Yeah, you know, it actually kind of hit me kind of late. I was in my freshman year of college. I was going to be a computer science major, and I was singing in choir, though, and a friend in choir was putting on a musical review, and he kind of roped me into doing it, and I had a blast, and I decided it was a lot more fun than calculus class, so I switched my major there at the end of my freshman year, and I finished up. I got a theater degree and, you know, took a lot of voice lessons and all that in college, and then that was in Spokane, Washington, and then I moved out to Seattle, and I worked in the professional theater scene there for 6 or 7 years, and then it was just, you know, time to make the leap. So my wife and I packed up and we moved out to New York in 2010, and I was kind of lucky to be in the right place, right time. Just a couple months after I moved out there, I made my Broadway debut with American Idiot, and did that for a few months. And then right after that closed, pretty much right after that, I auditioned for and got cast as Bob Gaudio for the second national tour.
Now, were you... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I went out and did that for a little over 2 years. We were on the road. And then the job opened up out here, and my wife and I were about to have the baby, and the producer said, you know, hey, would you like to sit down and live in one place for a while? And we said, yes, yes, we would.
That's excellent. And did you specifically try out for Bob Gaudio or just try out for any of the roles?
Well, the first audition I went to was just a general audition because any show that's been running for a while, they're required to do auditions every 6 months, whether they're looking for somebody or not. So I went into one of those just after I got to New York. And that went well. And then a few months later, I got a call from that audition that they were going to be looking for, you know, a Bob for the tour. So then I went in, and after that, I had, you know, about eight more auditions for various different people and dancing and singing and acting. And then finally, at the final callback, everyone was there. Bob Gaudio was there. And that was a little bit nerve-wracking, pretending to be the guy who's sitting, you know, 10 feet away on the other side of the table.
Right. I can imagine. And let me, just a couple other questions, Jason. One is, how do you develop chemistry, to pull off that on stage like it really was with the Four Seasons? Because they all grew up, not all of them grew up together. I mean, Gaudio came later through Joe Pesci, by the way, which, you know. But how do you, does chemistry just develop as you get to know your other cast members? Or is it instant sometimes?
Yeah, you know, there's some of both. When I first started with the tour, you know, we had 8 weeks of rehearsal. So, you know, the very first week was actually just the Seasons. And we would sit around in a circle sort of kumbaya style and sing these songs and, you know, try to get the blend right. And we had a lot of time to, you know, play around and find that. When I came into the Vegas company, you know, as a replacement, I only had about a week and a half of rehearsal, and that was mostly just me and the stage manager, dance captain. You know, I didn't actually see most of the rest of the cast or any of the other Seasons until one rehearsal with everyone before I started. So, you know, the process here is different. You know, we had to kind of find some of that chemistry as we went along, which is pretty easy to do in this show because, you know, we're playing these guys who are, you know, rock stars and who are performing, you know, these songs for audiences. And the gift for us is that we don't have to pretend that we're doing that stuff because we're actually doing it, you know, every night. Like, we're the audience at the theater becomes the audience at, you know, the Ed Sullivan Show or American Bandstand. And, you know, we just get to perform these songs together and have fun. So the chemistry comes along pretty quickly, but we do get to kind of find at each other on stage.
Well, that probably makes sense. And you do, what, a couple performances a night?
We do every day, Tuesday through Sunday, and we have two shows on Tuesdays and Saturdays.
Oh, gotcha. Now, just two more questions. Your favorite song in the show?
It does tend to morph a little bit over time sometimes, but I really love Begging. And it's not actually just one of my favorite songs in the show. That's one of my favorite songs, period. That's such a killer groove to it. I was actually really sad it's not in the movie.
Yeah, that's right. It's not. And the other question, did you see the movie?
Yeah, I did. We got to go to a bit of an advanced screening with the whole Las Vegas company here on Monday this week, which was a blast.
Would you agree that it wasn't that didn't have the energy of the show that you guys put on?
I would agree it doesn't have the same energy. Yeah, okay. It's not. You know, it's sort of hard to put into words. The style is different. And I think, you know, that's Clint Eastwood's, you know, thing. It's very realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not the lights in your face like it, you know, at the theater. It doesn't have really a produced feel, you know, like when you go to see the stage show. And I think it just kind of provides sort of another facet of the story, you know, sort of getting to see behind, you know, another layer of the curtain. I didn't mind it at all. I think it kind of complements the stage show by giving you kind of a different look.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I've seen both the movie and, of course, the musical that you're in at the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas. The movie was great. I give it a big thumbs up. But the musical, yeah, so does Joseph here. But the musical, I thought was even better, and I encourage everyone, get out there, Las Vegas.
See, I haven't seen it. I got to go out there.
You got to go out there to the Paris Hotel. Phenomenal. You won't regret it. You only regret it if you don't see it. And Jason Kappas, thank you so much for coming on our show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. And I'm going to see the musical again, so maybe I can meet you down there.
Wait a minute. Kappas,
yeah,
that's not Italian, though, is it?
Quiet.
Oh, okay, all right, because it doesn't end with an a vowel. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jason, again, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and that was Jason Kappas playing Bob Gaudio. Phenomenal performance. I really highly recommend get out there, see the musical Paris Hotel, Las Vegas. You won't regret it. It's just phenomenal.
I had no idea there was a Broadway play, American Idiot, based on Green Day's album.
You didn't? You've never heard of that?
Oh, I haven't.
No,
either.
Did you?
I knew it. I've never seen it.
No, did you?
I never heard of it.
You did. No, me neither.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So what's up? Are we taking a break?
Let's take another break. This is another number one hit from Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, including Bob Gaudio. Gaudio.
Gaudio father.
And Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito. He went to Vegas. Oh, I love this song.
And Joe Pesci, too, huh?
Joe Pesci.
He was in the movie.
Yeah. He played. It was funny. He had a funny part.
Joey.
Yeah, Joey.
Hey, Joey. Yeah, this is Big Girls Don't Cry. You're listening to KPHX 1480.
And we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding
the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And that is Joseph J. Erdo.
Wasn't Walk Like a Man a movie? Very bad movie.
Was it?
I don't know. Didn't That's they play a good
this,
song, though.
Yeah. Didn't they play this song also on a movie about a bunch of dead people on a bus? I'll look that up.
Dead people on a bus.
I'll look it up. I think it's Heart and Soul is the movie.
Oh, that was bad.
That's
too.
A long. Oh, I like the movie. All right.
Yeah,
well, anyway,
probably.
It's our Jersey Boys show, and this is, of course, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, again, bringing us into this segment.
You're right, Joseph.
Heart and Soul?
Yes. I remember that.
Yes.
That Robert Downey Jr.
Yes, that was a great movie. Yeah. I liked it. And, of course, the Jersey Boys just came out. We gave it two great big thumbs up.
Oh, yes.
And before we bring our next guest on, I do want to mention that my colleague over at AZ. My colleague over at AZ Weekly gave it a big thumbs up, or actually he gave it a breakthrough. He loved the movie, and let me just give you a quote, what he says. We can bring it on real briefly if you'd like, but hold on 1 second. Let me give you a comment from my colleague over at Stan Robinson over at AZ Weekly says, "For those of us who lived it, the music in Jersey Boys is secondary, with the story more important to us. For those of us who came after the music, may be the main appeal." I think the music was the main appeal for me, and also my friend Shannon Murphy. Shannon loved the movie as well.
Oh, now you can give out her last name.
I just messed it up. So, all right.
Oh, you're not allowed Shannon, to do that. Can you reverse
that? No, that's okay. That's okay. Shannon loved the movie as well.
Let's give out her number too.
No, all right. And
her address.
I wonder, did your friend see it?
Who?
Trisha.
No.
No, she didn't.
Same last name.
Well, let's ask her. Trisha, did you see the movie?
I did not see the movie yet, but I have seen the stage shows.
Oh yeah, that's right. You saw? Yeah, of course. You saw the musical. Wasn't that phenomenal?
Yes, and I've seen it in New York as well as in Las Vegas.
You did?
Yes.
Ah, I wonder when that was. Okay.
Oh, you're bi-coastal.
Before you, baby. Yes, I am.
Without the coastal. But anyway. Just kidding. All right, so anyway. That was great, wasn't it? We gave a huge thumbs up, the musical and the movie as well. I think I like the musical a bit better. And, Trisha, when you see the movie, I think you might agree.
Well, but, you know, I will tell you one thing that I have a comment about, for the most part. I'll take off speaker so it doesn't echo. But for the most part, when people put a stage show onto film, it can be very difficult to make that transition. But what he was saying about how it's a little bit less flashy, it gives a different dimension to it.
I would
it.
Agree.
If anybody could do that well, I think it would be Clint Eastwood. So I'm excited to see the show.
It will be.
Because it's handled in a different way and gives you a different dimension, I think.
Yes, and you know what? We started the show by talking about the movie, and then we kind of like rewound a little bit, and we went and talked about the musical. And now we're going to rewind again, and we're going to talk about what it's all based on. The real life, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. We've got a kind of a family friend of the four lovers.
Kind
as they
of, it says here, a good family friend.
Well, yeah, let's find out exactly the connection there. We have on right now Michael Swerdloff. He's known as DJ Mystical Michael, and his real name is Michael Swerdloff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I was looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're calling in from Rhode Island, right?
I'm calling in from Providence, Rhode Island. I'm from Jersey. I'm not far from where those guys all grew up, but I moved to Rhode Island about three quarters of a year ago, and now I have my DJ business up here. Did a great wedding last night on Newport Beach. That was fabulous. And, yeah, just excited to join you guys and talk about the gang.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, tell us a little bit about your connection. I know that when we were speaking by email, that you said that your grandmother and your mom had some of the Four Lovers, some of the members of the Four Lovers over, of course, the Four Lovers turned into the Four Seasons, over for dinner and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the parts that I know that are true, and then I'm going to tell you the parts that are family legend that I have no idea what truth is.
Okay.
But I do know that my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, Sarah, she, Sarah DeVito, just to give you a name here to throw into it, they were all from the same neighborhood, you know, and Frankie and Tommy and Tommy's brother, Nicky, who was part of the original Four Lovers, from what I know is fact, is very often they used to go over to my grandmother's house for dinner, you know, in their late teens and while they were still performing in the neighborhood and getting stuff together. And they used to eat there on Friday nights. Why Friday nights? I have no idea. I know it's an Italian thing, but they used to eat there on Friday nights. And they just would show up. They weren't even invited. I don't mean that they weren't invited, but I mean, it's not like it was a special thing. They just showed up, and they were friends with my mom and my Aunt Dee Dee. So those parts I know are true.
Okay.
I've heard when I was growing up that my Aunt Dee Dee dated Frankie for a little bit. Whether there's any truth to that at all, I don't know. I grew up thinking, and nobody told me this, that Tommy was related to me because my mother's maiden name is DeVito. So I thought he was related to me, and I thought Frankie was related to me, but the last two things I've come to find out are both not true. So I grew up thinking Tommy and Frankie were related to me, even though I never met them.
What about Danny?
No.
Oh, darn. I like that guy. From Taxi, of course, you know.
Yeah, I got you. I know. No, yeah. Not related to him either. But he's from the same neighborhood almost as well, too.
So you grew up in that neighborhood?
I grew up about 10 minutes from there. Both my parents did grew up in that neighborhood. I did not. You know, I come from working class, and obviously all of the Four Seasons are from working class. But my dad had a better job, so we moved to a better neighborhood. So I was in a little bit better neighborhood than the one they grew up with. But I have to tell you, as a teenager in my early 20s, that's where I went and hung out. I understood that neighborhood because that's where I came from, like in spirit, you know?
So, but this was more in your mom's generation?
Yep.
Yeah, and have you seen the movie yet?
I have not. I had gigs both nights.
Gotcha.
I had weddings, you know.
But of course, you know, you of all people would know the story, and I think that's what's going to amaze a lot of people. It's not just the music, but the stories behind, you know, the tragedies, the fortunes, everything that happened in their real lives. Is that really how the neighborhood is? I mean, Joe Pesci. Did your mom know him, for example? He was somewhere near the neighborhood too.
No, didn't know him. Didn't know Pesci. My dad had met Sinatra a couple of times in passing. My older brother had met Sinatra. My older brother had met Frankie. I mean, I don't know how this happened because I was a little younger. I was 4 years younger, but when my brother got injured, he was an All-State football player. My brother had gotten injured, and somehow Frankie visited him in the hospital when he had a cast on. And whether my mother facilitated that or who facilitated that, but Frankie visited my brother. So my brother got to meet Frankie. I never did.
Okay. All right. And of course.
So there was a lot of, you know, the word connections has all kinds of different meanings. If you're Italian and from the Newark area, from that generation, the word connections has all kinds of different meanings. But there was all kinds of different connections between all of these artists, the neighborhood, the community, and just from a different spin on this, also from that neighborhood where jazz performers like Count Basie and Sarah Vaughan, and only 10 minutes away were the Shirelles. I don't know if you know
that.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that's interesting.
Two great vocal groups of the early 60s were pretty much only 10 minutes apart.
Wow. Now, have you ever heard the term claim check?
Yes.
Well, describe that to the listeners.
Oh, God.
Joseph looks confused. That was in the movie.
I was paying more attention to the music.
Oh, but it was a significant part.
Okay.
Of the movie.
I remember it, but yeah.
Okay, so what's your take on Claim Check?
Well, as I grew up knowing Claim Check, but it might not be how it's described to others, but I grew up knowing Claim Check is somebody does something for you and someday you have to repay it and they claim their check and it's whatever it is they ask you for, you got to do it. Doesn't matter what it is.
Well,
is that how you know it?
That's right. And exactly. In the movie, it was Chip DiCarlo, Christopher Walken, ripped up, I think it was a $100 bill.
Yeah,
and gave it $100. Gave it to Frankie, and he said, anytime you need help, you show me this, and I'll remember I gave this to you as a claim check. And that's when he got his I think that's when Tommy DeVito's thing
showed it to him, yeah.
Yeah, so does that still happen out there? Is there claim checks floating around?
Yes and no. You know, kind of a strange thing that people don't know. Gosh, and I'm forgetting his name for a second. What was the mayor of New York during 9/11? He was going to run for president.
Giuliani.
Yeah.
Giuliani. I don't know if you know this, but Giuliani made his name as either a DA or assistant DA in New Jersey. And he's actually the one who single-handedly kind of cleaned up the New Jersey mob. I don't know if you know that. That's really where he got his bread and butter. He just had enough of it. He almost did like Elliot Ness style. I don't mean with the submachine guns, but you know what I mean? Just with that.
You mean he hired Sean Connery?
No, I don't mean that.
No, he hired Sean Connery. That's
yeah, he hired Sean Connery. But I mean, just more of the spirit of he was almost like this maverick that took it on. So, you know, New Jersey has changed its shape and form a lot.
Especially shape and form with Chris Christie.
Yes, that is true, shape and form. But I guess what I'm speaking to him more now is the generation, the younger generation of Italians in New Jersey and New York now are of a different ilk. You know, they're educated, they're college students, they're professionals, they're not working class people, and they're not as much small business owners that have quote-unquote friends in the neighborhood. It's not as much that anymore. I'm sure that's still around in the background, but it doesn't have the force, and the power that it did at one point.
Okay,
that makes any sense.
Yeah. And
well, now that's not necessarily what the Jersey Shore shows, though.
Well, but you got to understand, the Jersey Shore is a different thing, you know. And I don't mean literally; I mean the show. The Jersey Shore, the show, has very little to do with the Jersey Shore. It was really interesting. It's funny that you bring that up. I was living in South Korea for a year and a half in Asia, and I had never heard of Jersey Shore. And I came back to the States, and everybody was talking about the Jersey Shore. Everybody I talked to from all over the country, and I was going, what the beep is everybody talking about the Jersey Shore all of a sudden? I didn't know there was a TV show. I had no knowledge of this. And then there was the show.
What? There's a TV show?
Yeah, right. There was a TV show, and I was like, wait, what are you talking
about?
The
ducks?
I hung out. My whole childhood was spent at the Jersey Shore, you know? And so anyway, the long and short of it is that the Jersey Shore has trumped up this thing that isn't really a thing anymore, but they've made it look that way.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, again, we were speaking with Michael Swerdloff. Just tell our listeners, we can find you at DJMysticalMichael.com. Is that where?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
DJMysticalMichael.com. And, of course, you know, we have listeners out in on the East Coast, and I'm sure that they could hire you, and you could play December 1963 for them, right?
Yeah, and do you know any about that song? Do you know that at that time, the second time it was released, that actually was the record of the longest something was on Billboard's Hot 100? Because strangely enough, the first time it was released, it was on the charts for 27 weeks, and then the second time it was released, it was on the charts for 27 weeks. So at that time, being on the Hot 100 for 54 weeks was the highest of anything.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us and helping us celebrate the release of Jersey Boys. We hope to talk to you again soon, you know, so stay in touch, Michael.
Thanks, guys, and I can't wait to see the movie.
Oh, yes. I think you'll like it. Thank you so much. This is a great song, too. And
My Eyes Adored You. This is, I believe it's Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
I believe it is, because this is the Jersey Boys theme show today on 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480 KPH.